Is global warming real? Just ask Jim Luce. He's the chair of Washington State's Energy Facilities Site Evaluation Council, the government organization that sets the rules for the state's energy industry.
We believe global warming is a real threat to our economy and environment. We are convinced.
This summer, Luce chaired a hearing on new rules that will tighten greenhouse gas emission standards for the state's power generators. He says the proof that the weather is getting warmer is all around us.
We already see evidence of climate change in the Northwest with reduced snowpack, insect infestation threats, greater danger of forest fires, and increased erosion from flooding.
Researchers like Lou Rothstein, a senior professor at the University of Rhode Island's Graduate School of Oceanography, agree.
Global warming is definitely happening. That is not arguable at this point. The issue is man's role in global warming.
The evidence of a warmer climate is all around us. More than 10,000 died this summer in Europe's worst heat wave since weather recording began in the 6th century. Another 1,000 dead this spring from record heat in India. Arizona and Central California set new records both for high temperatures and consecutive plus 100 degree days. Firestorms in July and August ravaged bone-dry forests from Montana to British Columbia. But this is more than a one-year phenomenon. Glaciers in Alaska, Montana, and on Mount Rainier have been melting for a decade. Five of the warmest years recorded in the Northwest occurred in the 1990s. The University of Rhode Island's Lou Rothstein says people are worried about climate change because the worst-case scenarios are so frightening.
Glaciers will melt, snow caps will melt, and sea level will rise. And so you're looking at a pretty large impact in our coastal lives that we've built for ourselves.
Nowhere have scientists been watching the changing climate and its impact on oceans longer than here on Narragansett Bay off Rhode Island's southern shore. Every Tuesday morning, 52 weeks a year, for the past 44 years, professors and students from the University of Rhode Island's Graduate School of Oceanography have been taking samples on the same section of the bay and the seafloor.
Got a good catch here, a lot of diversity I can see already.
Graduate oceanography students David Taylor and Tony Wood are hauling up a trawl net aboard the research vessel Captain Burt. It's filled with a smorgasbord of bottom dwellers and sea life. It's a rich catch that they share with a group of visiting journalists.
Pass this around and tell me what these are.
But it's a different catch than their predecessors brought aboard four decades ago, because the sea here is a lot warmer now than it used to be. Mark Gibson is with Rhode Island's Department of Environmental Management.
Well, we've observed over, say, the past 3 to 4 decades a steady increase in sea temperature, average sea temperature, so that it's about 2 degrees centigrade warmer now than it was 4 decades ago. Associated with that, we've seen a change in the constituent fish population here in Narragansett Bay to more of those that are more suited for warm waters.
Because climate has only recently become a major area of scientific study, no comparable research covering such a long period of time has been done anywhere else in the country. More study is needed, but that may be problematic because of a Bush administration plan to eliminate the $22 million budget for research into the regional impacts of climate change. Firefighters across the Northwest using helicopters and heavy equipment have spent the last 2.5 months battling a series of explosive wildfires. People living in their path got a taste of what may lie ahead if weather conditions continue to heat up, something researchers predict will happen in the arid areas east of the Pacific Mountain ranges. Wayne Bull, one of the 10,000 people forced from their homes by the McClure Barrier wildfire in British Columbia, experienced firsthand a fear that will become more common in coming years.
We left about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was ashes coming down as big as CDs, and it was, and you just, all you could see was one big mushroom coming at you, and the smoke was so thick you could probably only maybe see a couple of hundred yards, so it was scary when we left.
Volunteer firefighters saved his home, but 60 other homes and the $40 million lumber mill where he and 200 others worked were destroyed. Warmer climates are doing more than simply drying out the vast forests of the Pacific Northwest. They're allowing the populations of spruce and pine beetles to explode. the bugs actually are a natural part of a healthy forest ecosystem, killing off overmature trees so they can burn more easily and make way for the next generation of forest. Mark Morrison is the district ranger for Tenasket in north central Washington. He says the forests he manages are plagued with both insects.
We're talking about 187,000 acres that we have mapped of beetle infestation and mortality that's occurred since 1980.
A series of hot, dry years has knocked the beetle's natural cycle out of whack. Beetle populations normally are controlled by cold weather. A few weeks of what used to be normal winter mountain temperatures, 20 to 30 degrees below zero, kills enough of the bugs to keep them from overwhelming the forest. But the Northwest hasn't seen that kind of winter in almost a decade. This summer, Morrison's forest paid the price.
If you get a combination of a dry season, dead fuel, and wind, you have a large stand-replacing fire.
Without normal winter cold, the beetle population increases exponentially. The insects turn from their primary food, old, overmature trees, to younger, prime timber. The area consumed by beetles continues to grow. In British Columbia's Cariboo region, an area the size of Connecticut has already been infested, creating what's believed to be the largest stand of insect-killed forest in the world. Beetle-killed forests burn with a dangerous intensity that breed firestorms, Hiroshima-like fast-moving walls of flame that consume anything in their path. Forest scientists are already warning that the kinds of firestorms seen in 2003 are likely going to become the norm by the middle of the century. University of Rhode Island professor Lou Rothstein says the way we deal with climate change today will determine how history will judge us tomorrow.
In my view, the big story 200 years from now will be climate and what we did as a civilization about the climate implications that we're beginning to understand now. People will forget even about wars in Iraq and things of this sort.
Environmentalists say the thousands of sick and elderly who died from the heat this summer in France and other European nations were the first casualties of global warming. But they warn they won't be the last. The temperature's rising, and like every place else, the Pacific Northwest needs to prepare for what will be a very different world. Steve Kruger, KPLU News.